Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 2 this morning. Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to begin with one verse, and I'll refer to some others, but mostly what we need to see is right here in Proverbs chapter 2. Before we go any further, let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us to understand what He wants us to understand from the words of God today. Father, we're very thankful. Very, very thankful for Your words, for the opportunity to be here together. Lord, we pray for Roberto and Yanni and their family, all those kids that are in the college there at Capital City, the church. A sudden and tragic death like this is hard. We pray for Kevin Beyer and his children, Rilla and Peyton and Caitlin and Rebecca and Matthew, for East River Baptist Church, for the church in Australia who can't be here to comfort them while they're here. I really pray today, Father, a special comfort, strength of grace to help them during the time of grief. And then, Father, we pray today that You will fill us with Your Holy Spirit to receive from these words that instruction that You would have for us, whereby we may live and walk closer to You and desire to be with You. And help us to get understanding in the matters of what we're discussing today. Not just an understanding so we can leave here knowing what You said, but an understanding that's like, that's what I need to do to keep this from being a problem in the future. And I ask You to do all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 13 is the text, but I want you to start reading with me in verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man and from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. Notice here in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 13, Solomon is talking about the evil man and the man that speaketh froward things, and he says about them, they leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. What I'd like to talk with you about this morning, I'd like to talk with you about the ways of darkness. The ways of darkness. You see, these men, the evil man and the man that speaketh froward things, they have a desire. And the desire is they want you. Here we are here today. They want you, the ones I'm talking to that are here today. They want you to leave the paths of uprightness. And they want you to walk in the ways of darkness. Right now, here in this place, among these people with whom you're seated, you can walk with us on the paths of uprightness. We don't know everything that every one of us does when we're not here together, but when you keep seeing the same faces over and over again in the same place over and over again, you're talking about people who are doing right things and living lives in the right direction. And this is one of the great things about being together in a Bible-believing church with Bible believers, because here you can find the sound doctrine that you need to understand and be well grounded in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here you can find good friends. Here you can find strong support. You know, I was praying here in this building on Friday, walking around these aisles and praying for you and praying for our young people. And I realized something, reflecting back on my own life. You know, a good, strong relationship, good, solid faith in the Lord Jesus Christ where you're saved and you know you're saved is essential. But it's also essential, particularly when you're young, that you are connected with a group of people who want to live for Jesus. Those connections are very, very important. And you get to make the, there's support in that. That takes care of some of the human need that's also part of the spiritual need. When people are trying to recover from, let's say, alcohol, they get in a support group. When people are grieving, oftentimes they'll get in a support group. Sometimes students in a school are in a support group that'll help them. You understand, we just benefit by having good support. I'm going to tell you, you can find excellent support from people that are sitting right here with you today. That's a great benefit here. Men here in this church are not leading you astray. We're teaching what you read about here in verses 10 and 11. We're teaching you wisdom and knowledge and discretion and understanding. We intend to be, and from what I see, we are good examples to you of how you should walk in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and in, what verse 13 says, the paths of uprightness. And I think about people that I know well here and see not only in this building, but see in their homes and see in their business dealings and so forth. You know, they're living right. They're living right. And you can follow people who are living right, and it helps you. And not only that, but by being here for any period of time, you actually get to see the benefits of walking on and staying on the paths of uprightness. I'm just telling you, people who walk on the paths of uprightness, who live on the paths of uprightness, the benefits, the daily loaded with benefits, the Bible says, that you see over the course of their life are manifest and they are multiplied. Would you not agree with that? Have you not seen many, many occasions where the Lord has done many wonderful things in your life? I know that life is not a bed of roses. I understand that. Okay, there are thorns that grow on the bush. But I'm telling you, when you go through all that and you've got the Lord there with you, what a benefit. The paths of uprightness are wonderful paths to walk. You know what? Away from here, there are evil men who speak froward things, and they would love for you to leave the paths of uprightness. They would. I mean, it is a desire. It's almost like a victory for them that because of their persuasion, you no longer want to read your Bible, come to church, or be associated with Christians. They want you to walk in what Proverbs 2:13 calls the ways of darkness. That's the way that they're walking, and they want you to do that. Verse 14, which we read, they rejoice to do evil. They delight in the frowardness of the wicked. I remember years ago, since we've been here, There was a woman that went to Texas A&M University, and she was going to talk about substantial evidence for evolution and against creation, because her mission was to make sure there was no more conversation in school about intelligent design. He said she was just basically, her plan was intelligent design is just a way to mask creation. And so she came and made a presentation to 500 students that were in that auditorium, and I was there. And I listened to what she said. Well spoken, great slides, great apologetic speaker. You know, I didn't like anything she said, but I mean, I was telling you, she put on a presentation that would have wowed the student body. And then afterwards, she left, and I happened to be walking out. Just turns out when I was going to my vehicle after I visited with a few of the students there, that I was right behind her and whoever was her handler on the campus. And she was so proud of herself, how well she was able to convince those children, you get away from that Bible and you get away from that thought of creation. So smug. You know what? She delighted in the frowardness of her wickedness. And it pleased her that she could have that kind of influence on the kids. In other words, you see what they're doing. They present you with things in which they rejoice, things in which they delight, and they want you to believe that they've got something better than what you've got here. They want you to believe that you can have a better time with them than you can have with us. And I'll guarantee you, they will put out a pretty good little red carpet to give you some pretty exhilarating experiences in hopes that you will walk in the ways of darkness with them rather than in the paths of uprightness with us. That's what they do. But there are some very real and unseen problems on the ways of darkness. They're very real and they're very, like I say, you can't see them. They're not evident to you until the hook is in deep. Number one, these ways of darkness are satanic ways. They are satanic ways. Look with me in Proverbs 4:19. Don't have to turn far to get to that. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 19. The way of the wicked is as what? Darkness. That's why it's called the ways of darkness. So the way of the wicked is as darkness. Well, you know, when you read through the Bible, you learn a lot. And when you read through the Bible and you get to Ephesians chapter 6 and you start reading about the whole armor of God, and we're to stand in the armor of God, and we're to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. That armor is to protect us against spiritual wickedness in high places. That armor is to protect us against, listen, the rulers of the darkness of this world. There is darkness in this world, and there are rulers of the darkness that's in this world. When Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He spoke to those who came to get Him, He said, "This is your hour, and the power of darkness." The power of darkness. Very, very much opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's important for you to understand that it's darkness, and that darkness has a ruler, and that darkness indicates to you, because of those rulers, that you have a satanic influence. In that darkness, you are in Satan's realm. You understand, while you're in here, among believers, the Lord is present with us. His Word is present with us. There's light from the Word. But there where you are on a different path, you are in a different way, that's Satan's realm. You're under his influence. You are subject to his deception. May I tell you something? He's very, very clever. I mean, if you've ever seen, and you probably have, either in person or maybe recorded. You've probably seen a magician. And they can do something with the sleight of hand that is so convincing, it looks just like they saw the guy in half. It looks just like they pushed a solid object through another solid object, which you cannot do. It really does. That deception of the devil is so clever, he shows you something to you that looks better than what you have, and it's like, I want that. His lies, the devil cannot tell the truth. There's no truth in him. This Bible is filled with truth. So when you hear what the devil has to offer through wicked men and those that speak forward things, it doesn't sound like the Bible, but the reason is one of them is right and one of them is wrong. He always lies. He's filled with errors, and he's filled with temptations. And may I tell you something? He knows just how to tempt you. He knows where to tempt you, and he knows when to tempt you to get you to fall. He's very, very clever. In Acts chapter 26, when Paul is giving his testimony about his ministry, he said, among other things, listen, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Satan and darkness are connected, and light and God are connected. And what you've got to understand, if you, in verse 13 of our text, Proverbs 2:30, if you leave the paths of uprightness, you are going to then be walking in the ways of darkness. Do you understand? There are only two. One is upright and the other is dark. You got this path or that path. It seems like to you there may be many ways, but they're really not. One is a path of uprightness. One is a way of darkness. And if you walk off, if you leave the paths of uprightness, you are not in the path of uprightness any longer. You are now in the ways of darkness. And when you're in the ways of darkness, you don't get that supernatural type of protection that you get from the Lord. You are now, you have entered Satan's realm. He can do what he wants with you, when he wants to do it with you, and to whatever degree he wants. That's just how he works. And at first it seemed like it's such an exhilarating, pleasurable experience. Oh, you know, now look at all these new friends I have, and everybody's having such a good time and all. You have no idea where that path is going to lead you, where that way is going to lead you. But I'm going to tell you something. It isn't going to lead you to good. It isn't. So these are satanic ways. There is somebody very, very powerful that's using evil men and those that speak forward things to talk to you. Have you ever seen the marionette puppets? Okay, so you got the little cross up here, and you got the strings attached, and then the strings are attached to the hands and to the feet and, you know, to the head, and you can make it do something. A lot of the people that you see in the way of evil men and that speak forward things are like the marionette puppets. They're doing what somebody that controls them is telling them to do to get your attention, to allure you away. They oftentimes are not even in charge of what's going on. They are possessed. They are demonically influenced. Do you understand that? So it's a satanic way. You need to understand that. This way of righteousness, this path of uprightness, that's God's. And this way of darkness, that's the devil's. Okay? Second thing that you want to understand about the ways of darkness, these are hazardous ways. These are hazardous ways. Look again in our text, in the next verse that we looked at, that Proverbs 4:19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. Okay, look at this. And what is it? They know not at what they stumble. They know not at what they stumble. There are all kinds of trip hazards out there to take you down, but the thing is, you can't see them. How many here can raise your hand and say, I tripped on something walking in the dark in my own house? Look at the hands. Don't. There's just. Everybody has. Man, the day I did it, you know. It's your house. You know where everything is. And yet, when it's dark, you can't see it, even though you're supposed to know where that ottoman was. Or you didn't know the dog left that bone there, or the kid that toy there, or whatever. You just can't see those things. When you're on the ways of darkness, you cannot see the trip hazards. They're there, but you don't see them until they trip you. You see them after they trip you, like, whoa, that got me. But then it's too late. You've already fallen flat on your face. You can stumble over philosophy, according to Colossians 2:8, vain deceit, the tradition of men, the rudiments of the world. Let me give you an example. Here you are in church, hearing preaching and teaching about the paths of uprightness. You know what you're learning if you're paying attention? You're learning how to live. But the rudiment of the world will tell you, you need to concentrate on how to make a living. And when you start concentrating on how to make a living rather than on how to live, you're going to trip. You're going to trip. If you know how to live, God will show you how to make a living with what he's put in you. But if you leave this in order to learn how to make a living, they have all kinds of ways to lead you astray with something that looks good on the surface. There's a trip hazard in it. You say, how do you know that? I've been on that road. The tradition of men, they've got every kind of religion under the sun if you want something different than what you're seeing here. You know, this is, we say Bible-believing church, every time we open this up to teach, the Bible is our textbook. Every time we open it up to preach, the Word of God is our text. You say, why is that? We're not interested in self-interpretation. We're not interested in trying to convince you of our way. What we want you to do is be able to understand that Bible better so when you read it, God can lead you in the paths of uprightness. And the tradition of men is, well, we look at it this way. Well, once you start looking at it this way, you're listening to something that's coming off the ways of darkness, and you'll fall headlong into error, temptation, bad relationships, bad friendships. Listen, whatever the case, it's called the ways of darkness, and on the ways of darkness, you have no light to guide you. You have no light to guide you. You know, I encourage you to read your Bible, but if you don't do anything more than come here and get something on Sunday and come back the next Sunday and get something, at least you got a little bit of light. Out there, you get none. All right, and you know, here's something that you don't understand about this ways of darkness. When you're on the paths of uprightness, you've got people, you've got doctrine, you've got the Lord, you've got the Holy Spirit, you've got a lot of things helping you. You got a lot of things helping you. When you get on the ways of darkness, not only do you have those satanic influences and all these ways that men have devised to convince you that what you're doing in here is stupid, but you also have the Lord that can get against you. He's looking at somebody that ought to be on the paths of uprightness, and he sees you on the ways of darkness. He could trip you up in that darkness. I want to quote something to you from Jeremiah. This is Jeremiah 23:12, when the prophet and the priest in Israel or in Judah were profane. That is, they were halfway working for God, halfway working for themselves. Wherefore, their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein, for I will bring evil upon them, saith the Lord. So you could be walking along on your ways of darkness, having a yippity whatever good time you think you're having, and all of a sudden the Lord puts the slippery thing down, and you can't see it because it's dark, and you slip and fall. And the Lord said, I told you I'd bring evil upon you for doing that. And you won't be able to tell at the time who did it, because in the darkness you can't see. Those are satanic ways. Those are hazardous ways. Let me also say this. They are fatal ways. The ways of darkness are fatal ways. Turn with me to John chapter 3. Fatal ways. John chapter 3. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. We might as well read 18 so you have some context here. John chapter 3, verse 18. He that believeth on him, speaking of Jesus Christ, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son already. Notice, he is condemned already. See it? In 3:18? Okay, verse 19. This is the condemnation. That light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Do you understand? Once you decide that you don't want to be on the paths of uprightness, but you'd rather walk in the ways of darkness, you understand? There's a condemnation there. And the condemnation is this. There is light that has come into the world. There is light here now. There is light being preached now. But what happens is you love the darkness rather than the light, because now you've got evil deeds. And everyone that doeth evil, in verse 20, everyone that doeth evil, what are the next three words? Hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Here's the deal. Once you start loving that darkness, you aren't going to come to the light. Listen very carefully. Because what I've noticed a lot of times is the people who need this, we all need it. We all need it. But when I say the people who need this the most are not applying during the preaching the thing that they're hearing. It's not sinking in. It's here, but it's going out here. Comes in this ear and goes out that ear. It has to take a moment and stop, come down into the heart and go into the mind and affect you. Right now, if you have some, as only the Holy Spirit knows how to show you, evil deed in your life. Okay? And you are not now reading your Bible. You have already cut yourself off from the light. In other words, you're saying, well, I'm here today, preacher. I'm in the paths of uprightness. I understand that, and I'm glad you're here. But I'm telling you, once you start loving that darkness, you start hating this light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my, what? Paths of uprightness, my path. If you have, listen, if you have dust gathering on your Bible, you're loving darkness rather than light. You say, yeah, but I'm busy, preacher. I got to travel with my job and all. I just don't have time. No, you are making an excuse to protect yourself on the ways of darkness, and you have shut yourself off from the light. You know what the Bible says that is? That's condemnation. That's a fatal way to live your life. That's a fatal way to live your life. You know, if you used to pray more than you're praying now, read more than you're reading now, what you want to do is you want to be a little bit careful right now and say, wait a minute, is this like a barometer? Is this like a thermometer? Am I cooling off? Right? Is the pressure is the pressure of the world beginning to overcome? Listen, when you quit reading your Bible, you drop out of church and you get away from God's people, most of the time you will never come back. I can list them. They're on my prayer list. I can open my phone and show you right now. I got a list of them that ought to be here that aren't here right now. And you say, well, what was it that got them? I'll tell you what it was. They stepped off the paths of uprightness and they got on the ways of darkness. Listen to what Solomon said about that. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. This is not the congregation of the dead. This is the congregation of the living. And notice what he said. The man that wandereth out of the way. So if this is the path of uprightness that you're walking and you're like, ooh, I wonder what's over there on the ways of darkness. I'd like to go try that. And you try that and you find something over there that you really liked and you'd like to go back there and try it again. You're wandering out of the way of understanding, and what happens is you get caught up in that thing and remain in the congregation of the dead. May I tell you something? That is not a good congregation to be associated with. It's not a good congregation to be associated with. I'm telling you. Lots of people who wander out of the way and get on the ways of darkness never come back to the light. Why? It's too intense. When you've been asleep till 3 o'clock in the morning and then somebody walks into the room not realizing you're asleep in there and flips the light on, that is intense. And you fuss and carry on and hide under the covers and shut that light off. And if you haven't been here for a little while and all of a sudden you hear me preaching like this, it's like, no wonder I quit coming over there. I don't want to hear that kind of stuff. You know what happens? Somebody just turned the light on full bore and you're like, get that thing off! Turn it off! I don't want to hear that. I don't want to see that. If you have any kind of feeling like that going on in you right now, you know what the problem is. You have been walking on the ways of darkness. You have not been on the paths of uprightness. Book it. Book it. Might as well amen to yourself. Because it's true. It's true. You know, furthermore, those who never get saved. In other words, today, let's say you're here today and I'm preaching and you're not saved. There may be somebody like that. That happens sometimes. Let's say I'm preaching this and you're hearing this and you don't get what this message is going to offer at the end to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know what the Bible says? You liked darkness so much while you were down here living in the ways of darkness, you can just spend eternity in darkness. Yeah. That's what he said. Jesus said regarding the destination of a man who did not want the paths of uprightness, listen, cast him into outer darkness. There should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You say, you want to go to heaven when you die? Yeah, I hope to be able to go there, but I want to be able to do what I'm doing now. You like the ways of darkness? You get to live in darkness for eternity. I don't want you to live there. I can only imagine that a lake of fire that is outer darkness, where their smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and there is no rest day and night, would be a hell of a place to spend eternity. That's why it's called hell. And frankly, nobody in this room wants you to go there if you're not saved. Yeah, but if I do that, I have to get off the ways of darkness and get on the paths of uprightness with you. Well, you'll get used to it. You'll get used to it. It's a good path. It's a wonderful path. It's an excellent place to be. May I tell you something? I've walked in the ways of darkness. I've walked on the paths of uprightness. And I promise you with all of my heart, the paths of uprightness are far better than the ways of darkness. So instead of leaving the paths of uprightness, which somebody in here may be thinking of doing in order to walk in the ways of darkness, listen, start following Jesus and stay on the paths of uprightness. Don't get off. Don't get off. Don't get off. Jesus Christ, when he was here, said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's what he said. If you follow me, you'll have the light of life. If you follow me, you'll not walk in darkness. I cannot describe for you in words that are suitable. I don't have that level of oratory. I can't paint the pictures with words that some who are so skilled with vocabulary can paint. But I can tell you this. One of the most comforting, enjoyable, pleasurable, satisfying things is to be able to get up in the morning, read a little Bible, pray, and know consciously that you are following the light of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the day, and you are not walking in darkness and stumbling over trip hazards. Am I right about that? Many of you do that. And it's so satisfying to get at the end of the day, look back and realize you've been in the light all day. And the day in fellowship with Jesus has been so good, and you didn't get sidetracked by any of that darkness. It's like, wow, what a great, fabulous day it's been following the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ, no matter what you've been told, Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. And 1 John 1:5 says, God is light, and in him is how much darkness? No darkness at all. None. None. I'm telling you what, I got so tired of all the horrible things, really, in darkness, to now know that you'll never be in darkness, but you'll always be following Jesus on the path of uprightness. Wow. In that path, you see, he'll always protect you from the devil. Why? Because the devil is the ruler of darkness. When you're in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's not where the devil likes to hang out. He doesn't. Why? Turn it off! It's too light. So you get close to Jesus, the more of that his light, then the less of the darkness that you have to deal with. You know, he'll protect you from the evil man. He'll protect you from the man that speaketh froward things. You know, many of us have now realized that there are more lies on the news than there's truth. You've realized that. But, you know, there were some of us who plugged in pretty good to the news, like to keep up with going on. And as we saw more and more of those lies, you know what we did? We just turned it off and got more and more of this Bible. And when we started getting more and more of this Bible, it's kind of like, those guys are crazy, man. All they're doing is talking about stuff in the dark. When you're in the light, you can see much clearer than they can. Much clearer than they can. The Lord will guide you. That's why I mentioned the Bible and where you are with it. The Lord will guide you by His words. The entrance of thy words giveth light, giveth understanding unto the simple. He didn't say the preaching of thy word will give light, although there's light in it. It's light to you when it enters. Right? It's light to you when it enters. So if I'm up here preaching and what I'm preaching is not entering, then you're not getting the light that is coming from this message. But when the light enters, the entrance of thy words giveth light. Oh yeah. When those words start entering, then you get the light and then you get the understanding. And even though you're simple, it giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. May I tell you something? I think of myself as simple. I think of myself as that young man void of understanding. I think of myself as a fool needing wisdom. And I come to the Lord and I said, I need all the word and all the light you can give me. I need help. And man, when he pours it on, it's like, wow, this is so good. You know what I've learned about following Jesus? And many of us have enough time with him now that we can say this. The more you follow Jesus and the more you follow what he says, the brighter the light and the clearer your path. Look back at Proverbs chapter 4. The brighter the light and the clearer the path. I told somebody the other day, not been too long ago. I said, you know what? You ought to consider reading the King James Bible. At first, it'll be unfamiliar to you. At first, you may find it difficult only because of the sentence structure and the words are just different than what you're used to hearing. But it said, the more you read it, the more you're going to find its truth, and the more you're going to see the light of the words, and the more you're going to really like what you're reading. Proverbs 4:18, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth what? More and more unto the perfect day. The more light you follow, the more light you get. The brighter it is, the clearer it is, and you know that it's leading unto the perfect day. It's fabulous. You know, some of us here today are so looking forward to the Lord Jesus Christ coming that if he came right now, we wouldn't be surprised and we wouldn't be ashamed. We'd be so happy to finally see him. There are other here today like, I don't want to see Jesus. Too much darkness. Not enough light. Not enough light. See, what are you going to do with what you heard today? If there's not much, there's nothing more to tell you about this. There are ways of darkness. And those ways are not for you. The paths of uprightness are for you. All right? So there are three things that I would like to offer you as a decision, a choice that you should make today. Okay? A choice that you should make today. Now, I'm not like the car salesman who says to you, you need to buy it today. And you're like, I just need to kick some more tires and need to know, you need to buy it today. No, we're not. This is not a pressure deal. But I'm telling you, the sooner you make the choices that I'm going to offer you today, the better. That's why I say you ought to do this today. Number one, you ought to choose to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior if you're not saved. You can't get off the ways of darkness on your own. Until you get in Jesus Christ, you will never be on the paths of uprightness. And if you're here today and you find that it's just been one stumbled failure after another, you ought to check your own heart and find out whether you're even saved. I'm never one to talk somebody who is saved back into getting saved again, but sometimes the problem is you're not saved. You and the Holy Spirit know that. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. Because once you get on the ways, off the ways of darkness into the paths of uprightness, you will shout hallelujah. You will shout hallelujah and thank God you've been rescued out of that sea of darkness. That's the first thing. Second thing is, if you're saved now, then commit today to never leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. And I realize I'm talking to people that are in college, some that are young professionals, some that are in high school, all these years where you're trying to make life decisions. And some even that are in their 30s still making life decisions. Let me tell you something. If you've never made this decision, you ought to make this decision today and commit today. I am on the paths of uprightness, and whatever I do, I'm not leaving the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. You ought to make that commitment between you and God. And the third thing, if you're walking in the ways of darkness right now, and the Lord used this message to speak to you about where you are, then you know what you should do? Today, you should repent, you should turn back to God, and you should get back on the path of uprightness. Yep. Let me just say something about that third piece of invitation. So the first is, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. Second is, if you're on the path of uprightness, but you vacillate a little bit, you need to make a serious commitment. I'm staying on this path. I'm not going on the ways of darkness. Here's the third thing, and this is very important. If you're off the paths of uprightness, you're in the ways of darkness, and you need to repent and get back on the path of uprightness, you're probably going to be upset with yourself, because had you stayed on the path of uprightness, you would now be about right here on that path. But back here, you got off that path of uprightness and decided you'd dive into the ways of darkness, and you spent a bunch of time down here listening, you know, doing what the evil men do and listening to what the froward men say, and you got tangled up in that, and you look back, and today the Lord has stirred your heart. You need to get back up there on the path of uprightness. Sadly, you don't get to get back on that path up here where you would have been. Sadly, you have to go back pretty much to where you'll be about where you were, or maybe even a little further behind where you were on the path of righteousness, and you'll be back here. And sometimes there's enough distance between here and there to convince you it's too late to do it now. And I'm going to tell you something, it's never too late. If you have to get on here and you should be up there, okay. Tell the Lord you're sorry. Help Him to overcome the sadness of that fact. But you get on, because you're never going to get better down there. At least up here you'll get better. At least up here things will start falling back into place. At least up here you'll start getting the love and the light and the protection and the fellowship. Let me tell you something. This church is full of people who took that detour and got back on, and today you see how far we've come down the path of uprightness. You'd never know that we took that detour. I'm telling you, if you just get on now, after a while running with that train, you'll be in a good place, and you'll never regret your decision. But you got to make that decision today. Father, we're very thankful for the clarity of your words. We're very thankful for the leadership of your Holy Spirit bringing us to an understanding of what's needed to be preached and at what time. There's no doubt in my mind, Father, that you had many of us in mind when you gave me this message today. Amen.